A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sanctified for us, our sacrifice for us. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this night. Please use this message, Lord, and speak to my heart, Lord. Help me, Lord, to say what I should and not what I shouldn't. Please speak to our hearts, to each and every listener tonight. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And this passage we look at tonight was not intentional, but the Lord placed in my heart and kind of somewhat of a continual thought from the message last Sunday night, which I'm sure everyone remembers right off the top of your memory. I only did because I looked at my notes from last week, or I don't remember what I preached about last Sunday night either. But the Lord had put this message on my heart about this thought here in verse number 6. It says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Last week I preached about the dross in the silver that must be purged and must be taken out in order for that vessel to be used by the finer, knowing that that is the Lord as the finer or the refiner, and we're that vessel that the Lord is trying to purge and to clean and to make usable for His work. And talking about cleaning the things out of our lives that must be cleaned out to be usable for the purpose that the Lord created us for. Tonight I'd like to preach you a message about the little sins. The little sins. In verse number 6, this phrase is used twice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and also in Galatians chapter 5. And verse number 9, it says, "Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? I am not a great baker. I enjoy barbecuing and making breakfast." And other than that, that's about as far as it goes. I can follow directions a bit, but I'm not a baker in any sense. But the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That leaven is that yeast. Have you ever gone to bake something and you wondered why it didn't rise? It was flat. It was dead. It was supposed to rise, and it did the opposite. It did like the valley in there. And you thought, what am I doing? You throw in the trash, and you know what's the big deal? You know, and you go to the store and buy something. I'm not sure. The little leaven at the whole lump. It does not seem like a whole lot. You ever go to bake something and you got the ingredients off just a little bit? I'll throw my sister under the bus. Don't tell her anybody. But when she was a teenager, she started baking some, and she decided to make a peach cobbler, I think it was, or a peach cake. And as she was making the cake, she mixed up not the amounts, but the ingredients to the amount. And instead of putting in a cup of sugar, I believe it was, she put in a cup of salt. And she baked the dish, and it looked great. And we pulled it out, and man, was it disgusting. And we couldn't eat the thing. It was pretty bad. And we threw it away and still make fun of her to this day. But that's what brothers are for. And I'm a middle brother, so that's kind of my purpose, right? You ever think you got it right and something wasn't just quite right? And you go to bake or you go to make something and you pull it out and you go, now what did I miss? And an ingredient was off just a little bit and it just changed. It changed the pie or the... They have chickens that they got into the COVID chickens, like maybe some of you did. And so they had 23 chickens and two huge emus. I guess they protect the chickens. I don't really know. They look scary. They look like modern dinosaurs, what they look like to me, all right? And they're supposed to be nice, but I don't want to chance it. So while we were there, I said, "Hey, how are the chickens doing?" And my mom was telling me they went on a vacation they were gone for about 2 weeks, and they got back a few weeks ago. And she said, "You won't believe this." She said, "We were gone. Something crawled under the fence, just burrowed a little hole under the fence. It doesn't have a top on it, but..." we don't go through hardly ever. And while I walked on the back part of the property, all of a sudden I saw a leg of a deer. Of a deer, that is, all right? A leg of a deer, all right? And you see the hoof, you see some of the hair on it still, only one leg. And then we saw the chest cavity 10 feet away. And then about 15, 20 feet away, we see the skull. And then about 10, 15 feet away, we see the jawbone. And I thought, I'm not coming out here at night. I don't know what got it, but a whole deer it's spread apart. Now, I pictured a big animal taking it down. Someone said, could that have been buzzards? I was like, yeah, I'm thinking the big animal probably took it and scattered its bones. And I thought, man, something got the chickens and got the deer, and I'm not letting it get me. Let's get out of here. But I had to do my, you know, CSI kind of thing and take pictures of it along the way and show it to everyone because it looked so cool. I didn't bring the bones home. Don't worry. We left them right there where they're at. Something got in the chicken coop. We don't know what it was. It was small, but it got a whole lot of them. The little things in your life that can make such a big deal. Over the last few days, we've had a fly in our house. It's not fly season, but this fly is very evasive. And it will not let me kill it. And it is my mission to kill the fly. Doesn't it seem like the little things, the fly, the mosquito, the small things that can cause such a disruption? I cannot rest with the fly buzzing my head on the couch. It drives me crazy. I've got to take it down. The little things. Many times we're worried about the big disasters in life, and we should be. We're worried about the big sins, and we should be. But what about the little sins? What about the little things sometimes that we think is not a big deal? It's just a little leaven. It's just a little fox. It's just a little sin. It's not going to cause a big issue in my life. I mean, I know it's not right, but it's not causing anyone any harm. The little sins. Charles Spurgeon said, the best of men have always been afraid of little sins. You know why? Because the little sins grow, don't they? The little sins grow. I don't know who made the quote. It says this, it's easier to keep the enemy out than to expel him after he has gained entrance. It's easier to keep him out. It's better to lock the doors, keep it locked down so no one gets in, than for someone to get in the house and try to protect yourself and the family. I'd rather lock the door so no one ever were to get in and then put some nice signage out front to make sure they don't even think about coming in than to try to protect your family if someone does try to come in. You think, well, it's just a little sin. It's not a big deal. I don't want to get ahead of myself in the message. You hear preachers say that a lot, but I don't mean to. David in the Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'd like to have you turn back there for a moment. 2 Samuel chapter 11, you probably know where I'm going with the example here. 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And in verse number 1 it says, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. The Bible says this was a time that the kings went out to war, wasn't it? And David sent out Joab, and they were defeating people. They were accomplishing what they needed to accomplish, everyone but David. But David decided to tarry still at Jerusalem. And in verse number 2, immediately it says here, and it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful and to look upon. He continues on, he inquires about her, has her brought to the house and commits an immoral act with her, and finds out that she's now with child. Calls Uriah, her husband, home and says, why don't you go home to be with your wife? But he was too honorable. He said, I should not go into my wife, and he stayed out front. And he wouldn't go into her, so they sent him back to battle, and they sent him to the heat of the battle and retreated to have him killed. Had a cover-up from David's sin, and the husband was killed, and David, of course, then took Bathsheba to be his wife, and nobody knew, right? Nobody knew, but God did. But God knew. And God sent Nathan the prophet and said, thou art the man, and punished his sin. The child died, and so forth. Where did this begin? It began when David stayed back in Jerusalem when the kings went out to war. It didn't seem like a sinful decision. It didn't seem like something that was evil or wrong, but he was not in the place where he was supposed to be. He went up on the rooftop at night and went looking around and gazing, which he shouldn't have been doing. I believe he knew where he was looking and what could have been there. And sin came upon his life. Have you ever gotten ready for the day and you get ready and you head out of the house and you feel a little something in your shoe or in your sock? You ever do that? And you feel something, just, you don't know what it is, but it's driving you crazy, right? A little pebble, a little something, a kid's toy, who knows what it is, got in your shoe, and you don't notice till maybe you're on the road. And you can't stop, the red light's not long enough to take your shoe off, get out whatever it is, and you drive to where you're going, and you forget, you go into work, and you're working for a little bit, and you go, man, it's still in my shoe, and it's bugging you. And it starts shifting around just to annoy you even more. And finally you stop, and you pull it out. And what is it? The littlest pebble. The littlest thing you pull out that's been driving you crazy because something got in your shoe. When I was a teenager, we were driving to school one day, and I'm in the back seat of the car, and I felt something in my shoe. I didn't know what it was, and so I proceeded to take my shoe off in the back seat, and I take my shoe off, and it was a cricket, a live cricket that was squirming around in my shoe, hopped out in the car. I don't believe I caught it. And I don't believe I said anything to anybody else as well. It was going to be a surprise to whoever else was in the car. The little things. Many times we think, well, I don't want to fall to the big sins. Well, praise the Lord, I don't want to fall to those either. But how many times are we okay with the little things in our life? We're okay with the little things. It's just a little thing nagging in your shoe. It's just a little bother. It's just something buzzing your head. It's just a little fox, a little bit of leaven. A little something in your life that you try to justify, you try to barter with it, and it's not a big deal until it becomes a bigger problem, until it has taken over in your life in some way. The little things in our life, of course, are related to our sins. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I'd like to preach a message about the little sins tonight and give you a few points I pray be a help to you, as I know that is something that I need in my life. Number one, the thought here with the little sins is this. Little sins are still sin. Amen? Little sins are still sin. Isn't it amazing how we can justify our own sin? We can look in the mirror and like the parable or the example that Jesus gave of the person with the mote, the beam in their eye, and they're trying to pull out the sliver in someone else's eye. How many times we go look in the mirror in our life from God and His Word, or maybe it's from a spouse or one of your children that are pointing out your sins, but we justify and we excuse and we pardon all our sins, and it's not a big deal. But then we go to lay the hammer down for someone else on their sins. Little sins are still sin. Let me say this before we go any further, though. First of all, who defines what a little sin is, right? Who defines what a little sin is? Because we like to identify and label some sins. And there are some sins in the Bible, of course, that have greater punishment than others. But the Bible says these six things that the Lord hate: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. And before we start to label the big sins, we know that God has already labeled some of them that are abomination in His sight. How many times are we quick to pardon ourselves, but then condemn another? And we push it off, and it's not a big deal, not a big deal, until guess what? Until it's become a big deal. Little sins are still sin. Many times that's little sin is defined by someone trying to justify themselves by telling a little white lie. Just a little white lie. I mean, you just fudged the documents a little bit to get a better loan, right? You just fudged the wages a little bit so that it put you in a better bracket in some way. And it's just a little sin. No one's going to know. And maybe they're even telling you to do it. Just do it. I'll just look the other way. Well, that's being dishonest, isn't it? Isn't it? That's being dishonest. You know, and God knows. It's just a little sin. Little sins are still sin. Think about this. We think, well, it was just a thought. It was just a thought. I mean, I wasn't actually doing anything. It was just a thought. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, what does the Bible say? So is he. It's just a thought. Maybe you think this, well, it was just a look. I wasn't actually doing that. I was just looking. I was just looking at the person passing by. I was just looking at the commercial. I was just looking at the website or the thing on my... I wasn't actually doing anything with it. I was just looking. Or it was just words. I didn't actually hurt anyone. I just said something. It's just a piece of clothing. It's just a song. It's just a friend. It's just one drink. It's just one weekend. It's just coveting. It's just gossip. It's just a bad attitude. How many times do we justify our sins and we try to bring them down? It's not a big deal. But in your life, it's that weight or that sin that's holding you back in your life. The thought, the words, the coveting, the greed, whatever it may be in our heart. Again, sometimes it's just the little things that can take over in our lives. You think no one's going to ever know and no one's going to ever care. Understand this, though, that God knows and God cares, right? I don't think God's ever said, it was just a little sin, not a big deal. Now, I'm thankful that God is merciful, aren't you? He's merciful to those that come to Him humbly and getting right with their sins. But God, I don't believe that God ever in the Bible has ever said, it's just a little sin, don't worry about it. It's just a little bit of lying, just not a big deal. Can I help you with this, parents? Be careful with your children in battling the little sins. How many times as parents do we pass off a little sin that's not a big deal, but how is that sin going to grow in their life as they become a teenager and an adult and a spouse and a laborer somewhere? We better make sure that we battle the little sins. And it doesn't mean you're going to battle every single little thing and ride your children all the day long. But we must battle sin in our lives. Amen? We must battle sin in our life because the little sins are still sin. You know, little sins put Jesus on the cross, right? Little sins send people to hell every single day. The little sins. James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." To offend in one point. Man, if I got through a day and it said I offended in one area in the Bible all day, I'd think I was doing pretty good, wouldn't you? I made one mistake today. It was one thought, one word, one thing that I messed up in. Now, don't look judgy at me because you'd be in the same boat as well. You think I just offended in one point today, I think that means I have a lot of victories today, and praise the Lord for the victories. But if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty in all, the Bible says. Little sins are still sin. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Number two tonight, little sins never stay little. Little sins never stay little. Turn over to James chapter 1 in your Bibles, please. James chapter 1. James chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Little sins never stay little. James 1:13 says this, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Do you see the progression of sin in these verses right here? It talks about the lust, that desire to do wrong. It was the look, it was the thought, the desire to do something wrong. Then when lust, and then you're enticed, tempted, and then when it's conceived, when there is some sin that has been partaken of, and that brings forth sin. And then sin, when it is finished, the Bible says. When it is finished, it bringeth forth death. When it is finished. You know, we choose when to sin, but once you start sinning, you don't know when that's going to stop. You don't know how far that's going to go. Little sins never stay little. Little sins grow into bigger sins. You ever looked in the backyard around springtime or maybe even right now when you start seeing the weeds starting to grow up and you think they're not that big, just a few weeds in the cracks, the weeds are a little bit low, and then all of a sudden you can blink and those weeds are 4 feet tall, right? And they've taken over the yard and the garden and the plants, and you thought, I should do something about those weeds. And then you leave them alone, and what happens? They grow, and they grow, and they grow until they've overtaken the whole yard, don't they? How many times our sins, when they're small, when we can take care of them, that the Holy Spirit is convicted, has shown us what is wrong in our lives and how to get them right, and we ignore it and we say, no, another day. It's too hot. Another day, I'm busy. Another day, I don't want to get dirty. And then you go back and all of a sudden they've all grown up, and all of a sudden that's a whole lot of a bigger hassle to get rid of the big weeds than the small weeds, right? How many times in our life we wait till things get big and out of control, right? We wait till disaster strikes. We wait till the marriage is falling apart, till the kids are running wild. We start waiting until we're about to lose the job and the house and the stuff. Why? Because sin has gotten into our lives. Little sins grow into bigger sins. Little sins multiply very fast. So you, one time, the child maybe looks to cheat on a test and think nobody noticed. And you think, no one noticed. And then it's another time and another, and all of a sudden it's growing very fast. You think, I didn't get in trouble and try it again. I think of Lot in the Bible. Lot was raised in Abraham's house, and the herdsmen were fighting with each other that the land was not enough for both of Abraham and Lot's sheep. And so Abraham said, you choose one side and I'll choose the other. And Lot looked around and he looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan. Nothing evil or wrong or wicked about the well-watered plains of Jordan, was there? But he pointed his tent. He pitched his tent where? Toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He started making a bad decision. Guess what? That kept growing and moving in his life. And all of a sudden, he was living in Sodom with his family and committing immoral acts. Family barely saved alive with wickedness and sin. Why? Because of one decision to pitch his tent in the wrong direction. You ever see that loved one in your life that starts pitching their tent in the wrong direction? And you think, please listen. Please don't go that direction. And you pray and you plead and say, I'd like to help you. Please don't go that direction. They say, it's not a big deal. It's just a song. It's just a friend. It's just a little bit. Not a big deal. But then you look and you know where it's going, don't you? You know where it's going. You've seen it before. You've read the story. You've seen the Bible. You've heard people go down that road before. And sin, when it is finished, the Bible says, bringeth forth death. Little sins, they grow and they get bigger. They break up families. They ruin churches. They tear up people's health and lives because little things became big things. Church, I want to challenge you today. I don't know all the sins that people face in our church. I don't want to know everything. Please spare me some of those. But here's the thing, though. I believe if we are careful in our own lives to pull the little weeds, if we're careful to tend in our lives to Bible and prayer and tilling the ground and keeping things right with the Lord, that we'll prevent the bigger things coming into our lives. Lastly, I'll finish with this point tonight. Little sins are easier to stop than big sins. Little sins are easier to stop than big sins. I'm thankful to say that I never drank alcohol one time. By the grace of God, I'm thankful to say never once has alcohol touched my lips. I'm thankful to say that I've never smoked one time or done drugs. I'm thankful to say that God has protected me in many ways in my life, that I never even started down that road, because sometimes it's just once. And someone's addicted, they're going the wrong direction in their life. And how difficult those are to turn around. You ever get in your car and you get that check engine light that comes on and you go, I'm sure it's like low air pressure in my tire, right? I'm sure I just need an oil change and not a big deal. And you leave it for a while and you leave it for a while and you think, and then all of a sudden, do you ever do this? Then you stop seeing it anymore. It's like your brain has made it disappear. The mess is not there anymore, the light's not on, and it's almost like it's gone. And you drive further, and then all of a sudden you start smelling things in your engine that aren't smelling right, and maybe some smoke and some strange noises, and all of a sudden you leave that long enough, and your car's shot, right? Your engine's blown, and it's on fire on the side. We were driving to the girls' volleyball game in Chico a few weeks ago. We drove down 99, and there was all the farm roads and the orchards and stuff there. And on the right, one of the roads, there's a car just on fire down the road. They had a police car nearby, and people were out there watching. Don't know what happened, But there's an issue that happened, and all of a sudden that issue became a bigger issue and almost could have been deadly. Little sins are easier to stop than big sins. I'll finish with this illustration. When many years ago, we had a few teenagers that came to church from one home, and they came to church faithfully. They were faithful every single Sunday, coming to church without fail. And all three of them came on the buses, and a couple of them stayed more faithful than the others, and one of the boys stopped coming faithfully to church, and time had passed, and I always kind of cringe when I hear news reports around town, and I just wait until I think, do I know the name? You know what I mean? Do I know the name? Do I know the face? Because if you've been around long enough and you've been in bus routes and Sunday school classes and King's Kids, there's a lot of troubled kids that we're trying to help and some that are listening and some that go the wrong direction. And one of these young men is one that went the wrong direction. We had pretty much lost track of their family and kind of what had happened with them. And all of a sudden it was on the news, and I was reading about it. This young man, him and his girlfriend got pregnant, and they were doing drugs, and they were addicted, and I don't know, remember what it was exactly, and they were expecting a baby, and that baby had been drug abused from the parents, and not a drug baby, but the parents had been doing the drugs. And they eventually had the baby in a hotel room. They were afraid to go to the hospital because of the ramifications of what could happen to them, I'm guessing. And the baby was born and was so addicted that they were giving the baby more drugs to try to keep it alive because it was so addicted to them. And they tried doing that for whatever amount of time until the baby lost his life. And I remember visiting this young man in the jail. What do you say? You know, sat in our classrooms back here and taught them the Bible and brought them on the bus and prayed for them and brought them to youth conferences and to camp and tried to invest in their lives. And you just say, what do you do? And, you know, I don't know how the court case happened and what happened after that, but I can imagine a very long prison sentence of some sort. But how do you get there? How do you get there? A lot of small decisions go in the wrong direction. Right? A friend, a type of music, right? Getting involved in the wrong crowd, one time trying something, getting together with the wrong person. I know many times we think, well, that wouldn't be me, right? That wouldn't be my kids or someone here. One decision that leads to another decision that we allow in our lives. So church, what do we do? Honesty and humility before the Lord. Having a walk with God every single day. Every day. See, when the Lord points out in your heart and your life that something is wrong, that needs to be out, listen to the tender voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart that God is trying to save you from going the wrong direction. The Bible says to ponder the path of the wicked. Look at the direction that they're going. I don't want to go there. So what do I do to avoid going that direction? Well, listen to God and His Word. Amen? I stay close to God and His Word. I follow spiritual and godly counselors. Stay faithful in the house of God and be careful where you go and what you do. We could get into so many details tonight about that. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. But how many times we quench the Holy Spirit and say, it's not a big deal, not a problem, not a big deal in my life. I mean, it's just a little sin that we allow. It would never be me. When the Holy Spirit convicts, listen. When a godly person in your life comes and sits you down and say, hey, I want to help you, would you listen? I'm thankful for those in my life that at times that I needed at crucial points in my life that sat me down and said, I love you enough to tell you the truth and I want to try to help you in your life. And I'm thankful that I was willing to listen to those that wanted to point me in the right direction because there were some little sins that were trying to take me in the wrong direction. Church, tonight, I want to just give you a warning tonight. Maybe it's for one of our young people tonight to heed the warning of the little sins. You say, Mom and Dad, I don't get the big idea of the curfew, the little sins that could save your life. I don't get the big idea about guarding my music. I mean, why is this such a big deal? The little sins that could truly save your life. I don't get the big idea about about why not to go to the friend's house or go to the sleepover. The little sins, that one choice that could change your life. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. In Song of Solomon, the Bible would say a similar analogy to that is take up the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, the little things in our life. Maybe God has pointed something out in your life, something small, it may seem, that is big in the sight of God, that God has been trying to weed out of your life or out of my life. May we be honest enough to say, God, humble enough to say, God, I know it's time. It needs to get out. Why don't we take care of it before we're on the side of the road with a blown engine, the flat tires, the things that are a disaster? Why don't we guard those things and protect them before it becomes a big issue? With head bowed and eyes closed, let's have a word of prayer as we begin the invitation time tonight.